Are you one of the 149 million people over the age of 16 who enjoys spending time recreating in God's creation? If so, we'd like to invite you to join us on today's Trail to Adventure. Together, we'll meet outdoor personalities who are using what they do, a field or stream, to show those in their sphere of influence about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the host of God's Great Outdoors, Jerry Calouette.
Well, hello, this is Jerry Calouette, and we're here in Anchorage, Alaska, just on the tail end of being on the road for about 2 weeks through the Southeast Alaska. I was down there and sharing a number of churches in the panhandle of Alaska, and then flew up to Anchorage for some speaking opportunities up here. Right now, I'm sitting in the home, if you will. It's a place that's been set aside for missionaries, and the couple, Beth and Dave Battle, have been supporting us, God's Great Outdoors, for a number of years. Dave and his wife, Beth, and we're going to just have a little bit of time of visiting with Dave and get to know him and how he has had the blessing of spending time in God's creation. But first of all, Dave, welcome to God's Great Outdoors.
Thanks, Jerry. Glad to be here.
Well, Dave, probably need to go back to the fact that you haven't always lived in Alaska. You grew up down south. You're from one of the Carolinas. Why don't you just give us a little idea of how you got started in the outdoors and where your life was rolling when it came to, you actually are making your living when it comes to the outdoors as well. So why don't you take us back to, a few years ago.
Sure. I grew up in western North Carolina in a little bitty mountain town in the southern Appalachians. I grew up hunting squirrel, grouse, turkeys, deer, hogs, bear, about everything there is to hunt there, and fishing a little bit too. So I guess it just gave me a real passion for the outdoors. And from the time I was small, I wanted to do something in the outdoors, and that gradually worked into a wildlife management profession. Growing up in the southern Appalachians, it's not as much deer country. I did a little bit of deer hunting, but I did a lot more hunting for wild boar and black bear and turkeys and that sort of thing. So a lot of my hunting was over dogs. I can remember catching wild boars with dogs. Sometimes we shot them, sometimes we let them go, sometimes we took them with knives. Did a lot of turkey hunting, a lot of squirrel and grouse hunting. My dad was the biggest influence on my life. He's really the one who gave me the passion for the outdoors. When I was growing up, as far as I was concerned, there was God, and then there was Dad, just on not that much lower a level. He's always been my idol and the person I wanted to model myself after, and he was such a big outdoorsman. I've never heard the name Charlie Battle said without respect, and so I guess that's where my passion for the outdoors came. I wanted to be like him, and I still aspire to be like him and know as much about the woods and the mountains as he does. He's the one who got me started. He was always the one teaching me about the outdoors from when I was a small child. He was a very successful small game and big game hunter and an avid trout fisherman, and I just always wanted to be like him. As I grew older, I just became more and more obsessed with the outdoors, and I wanted to spend my whole life outdoors, both personally and professionally. So it went into wildlife management as a profession.
Well, most certainly, Dave, that's quite a blessing to be able to talk about your dad in that degree and the fact that you have just spent so much time with him but also wanted to be like him. Of course, with all those hunts, there had to be some harvest from time to time, as you mentioned, and I'm sure that wild boar maybe barbecued and made into a pork sandwich tasted so good. I've had those at game dinners, and folks, that's reminding me that my wife, Cindy, is standing by to share today's recipe. Do send in your recipes, how you prepare the wild fish, game, or plants that you harvest. Let us know who it is you're spending time in the outdoors with, what kind of activity it is you like to do, and you will get a copy of Steve Chapman's book, Outdoor Insights. Remember, they're autographed. For that recipe, hey, we'll be right back after Cindy shares this.
While Jerry and I were in Bethel, Alaska, we had several meals at the home of Steve and Carolyn Kovach and their daughter, Katie. This recipe is for a delicious smoked salmon dip that Carolyn served on Thanksgiving Day. This was a great treat that even a couple of toddlers who were there that day just loved. To make smoked salmon dip, you will need 8 ounces of smoked salmon, 8 ounces of cream cheese, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, 2 teaspoons of Worcestershire sauce, and 6 shots of Tabasco sauce. Finely chop the salmon in a food processor. Soften the cream cheese and add to the salmon. Now add remaining ingredients and mix until well blended. Refrigerate this mixture for several hours or overnight to let flavors mature. Remove from the refrigerator approximately half an hour before serving with crackers. Remember, God's Word says in Genesis 9:3, "Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything."
We're back. Jerry Calouette, God's Great Outdoors, again here in Anchorage, Alaska, with Dave Battle. A beautiful day outside. And Dave, you're talking about a beautiful relationship with your dad. Now, from that and all that learning, all the things that he was instructing you on, you had a thirst for becoming someone who was working in the outdoors. And, of course, you have to have the education. How'd that all come about?
I got started in wildlife management a little bit late. I went through college and got a different degree, a criminal justice degree, and then I got out and I was catching shoplifters for a while, and I got married about that time, and I decided I didn't want to always be out all night chasing the bottom rung of society, I guess. So I decided to go back, and I got my fish and wildlife management degree from a little school in North Carolina. Got out and worked for universities for a couple of years, mostly on small mammals. I worked on voles, which are a big problem in apple orchards in North Carolina. I worked on flying squirrels. And on the side, I had a wildlife damage control job, trapping things mostly out of people's houses. If you trap a skunk out of somebody's crawl space, an unscrupulous person could probably charge just about anything they wanted. They think that you are saving them from Godzilla. So that was a good little side job for me. But I always dreamed of coming to Alaska. And somewhere along the line, I was starting to look for a different job than my small mammal job. And I saw a job on Wrangell Island in southeast Alaska, working on some of the same species I'd been working on. And so me and my wife sold our house and one of our vehicles, and basically it was just a God thing. God closed all the doors in North Carolina, and he opened all the ones in Alaska. And we bought a 26-foot RV and drove across the country, dragging a car trailer behind us. And we lived on Wrangell for a few months, working for the Forest Service. When that temporary job ended, we went on to Juneau for a while, and then we decided Anchorage would be the place to be for both of us. My wife is more into the business world, and there are a lot of wildlife jobs based in Anchorage, so we figured this would be the place to be. Came up here, got a job for USDA Wildlife Services doing wildlife damage control work on a major airport. Worked for them for about 4 years, became project leader on various projects, and then I went to work on a military installation as a game warden for a couple of years. Then that job was ending, and I got into wildlife management on that same installation for a major university contracted to this military installation to do wildlife management and outdoor recreation activities.
And now you're working for the state of Alaska in their fish and game department. That's pretty exciting.
Going from one location to the next, to here you are, well established. Most certainly the opportunities to be able to deal with wildlife. You have a variety of it up here when it comes to the wolves, the bears, the moose, and the list just goes on. We're going to talk a little bit more about God's creation and how it's had an impact on you. We need to take one more break. We'll be back after this.
Since July 6, 1996, God's Great Outdoors Radio and Ministry has been on the air to help listeners win others to the Creator God, Jesus Christ. The program is made possible because of the financial help of our listeners, and for this help we are truly blessed. Additional underwriting support is by Matthews Archery and the new V3 compound bow, plus Mission Archery with a revolutionary technology and design that provides a maximum crossbow experience. Also, Three Rivers Archery, supplying what one needs to make their own bows and arrows, and Hunter Safety System, saving lives is what we do. Also, Phil Havens Technology, LLC, a website designer and maintenance service provider.
Hello, this is Dr. Tom Rakel, founder and executive president of the Christian Deer Hunters Association. If you're interested in reaching deer hunters with the good news of Jesus Christ, we invite you to write for our free devotional booklet, Devotions for Deer Hunters. Just send a stamped, self-addressed envelope to Christian Deer Hunters Association, P.O. Box 432, Silver Lake, Minnesota 55381.
Polestar Outdoors is a nonprofit Christian organization whose sole passion is to come alongside young people and, by utilizing the outdoors, help guide them through life. We use hunting, fishing, camping, hiking, and competitive shooting to try to impact the students of this generation. For more information, go to our website at polestar-outdoors.org or call 307-254-4179.
We're back, Jerry Calhoun, God's Great Outdoors, and again, we're here in Anchorage, Alaska, and visiting with Dave Battle in his home, and tomorrow I fly home. Dave, appreciate the fact that you and Beth allowing me to stay here in your missionary facility, if you will. The fact that I've had a chance to finally get to meet you, you were sharing something with me that really struck a chord, because with Awana classes and then also Vacation Bible Schools, I do a program with animal skulls and sometimes different types of animals that I might have mounted in the house. But the thing about the animal skulls is how different that they are for each animal. But the amazing thing is there's all kinds of little holes. And even these young kids can see it. They can tell you where the eyes go, the ears go, the nose, and a lot of other things. But there's even holes that most folks are unaware that we have when it comes to our skeleton, of course, the skull being a part of the skeleton, and how that was something in your life. Your dad, doing all that teaching in the outdoors, he also was someone who was reflecting Jesus Christ because of his relationship with Christ. And maybe we could talk about your walk with the Lord and how this discovery, if you will, had an impact on you.
First off, let me say God has always used the outdoors and other outdoorsmen to speak to me. I was raised in a Christian home down in those mountains in western North Carolina. I went to Sunday school, church, Vacation Bible School, the whole works. I have to admit, as a child, I didn't really like being drugged to church, but I just saw it as a necessity of life. Something that always impressed me so much was that all the good old mountain boys, like my dad, were at church. I hunted and fished with them. I looked up to them. They went to church, so I figured if they thought it was important, I should too. At that point, I never really questioned the existence of God. He was as real as my family and friends and all the other people around me. I don't remember how old I was, but I do remember as a small child hearing that there were actually people who didn't believe in God. I mean, that was completely a foreign idea to me. But as I got into high school and college, I was exposed to a lot of new ideas. I learned about other religions, Buddhism, Shintoism, etc. I still wanted to believe as my, you know, the way I'd been raised. But I wondered what had made these other people accept these other religions. I was also exposed to a lot of New Age, truth in all religions type philosophies. Are we all worshiping the same creator just in different ways? Then I got into science classes and found out there wasn't a God at all. I went through a period of questioning. The thing that gave me the most problem was this possibility that there wasn't a God. What seemed such an odd notion when I was a little kid was starting to make sense. I mean, maybe all this world around me was just a big accident. It was a really depressing thought to me, but the way they explained it in class, it almost sounded plausible. I remember, though, one day as I walked into mammalogy lab. Mammalogy is the study of mammals. Carefully placed on various tables around the room were an assortment of skulls. We had to learn to identify the various specimens by identifying various unique characteristics. Skulls came in all shapes and sizes. They had everything from little tiny shrews and bats all the way up to deer and bear. As I studied the various specimens from all angles, I just became really conscious of the design they exhibited. The base of the skull has a variety of little holes called foramina, plural of foramen, if you've heard of the foramen magnum, where the spinal cord comes up and comes to connect with the brain. Basically, foramen is a term for any opening. And when you're talking about anatomy, a lot of times it's with bones, but it can be anything else. But basically, those foramen in the bottom of the skull allow blood vessels and nerves to reach the brain. It seemed like such a delicate apparatus, particularly in the little shrew and bat skulls. I was really struck with the absurdity of the idea that this simply just developed by itself. This became even more obvious as I got further into my education and learned how the various components of ecosystems work together. It became completely impossible for me to believe that this happened by accident. So where sometimes science often convinced people there's not a God, with me, science and life in the outdoors and the process of taking animals apart is what convinced me that there is a God. I did still have this truth in all religions philosophy to get by. That's something I struggled with for a while. But gradually I realized that I was no longer walking with God. I wasn't praying. I wasn't in fellowship with the other believers in any way. I was just kind of going on my own path. When I started thinking of God as a real being again, I realized that He would probably care whether I was calling Him by the correct name. If He actually sent His Son to die for my sins, it wasn't up to me to just deny that that had happened. When I went back to praying in Jesus' name, in one way or another, my prayers were always answered. I came to understand that it's God that decides what's true, not man. There's no such thing as, this may be true for you, but not for me. I can only say God was tugging at my heart and telling me that there is such a thing as absolute truth. What is true is that God sent His Son to die for my sins. All He asks is for me to accept Christ as my Savior.
Amen. Praise God. You can't ask for more than that. Most certainly, it didn't happen by chance. There is just no way, either mathematically or scientifically. I always like to say, explain to me, show me, prove to me, in what war, which explosion ever created life? It's only destroyed life. Everything around us had to be designed. Dave, the fact that you were willing to share with all the listeners, if you will, this path to God that actually was completely designed as well. He knew that there was going to be a day that we were going to be meeting together and be able to share what took place in your life and the fact that it can have an impact in the lives of, or maybe just one life of the listeners, and be the beginning of them starting to realize that there is a Creator God. He wants to have a relationship with them. So it's great to finally have met you and your wife, Beth. Great that you were willing to share with all the listeners here on God's Great Outdoors. And I sure do appreciate the fact that you let them know how you began to realize that there is a Creator and it didn't happen by some big explosion a long time ago. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Jerry.
Friends, in the program that I do with the youngsters, I show them the frame of a truck. As a mechanic welder for many years, one of the things that we were taught is you never drilled a hole or welded anything to the frame. Everything located on the frame and all those holes that are already there were put there through design by engineering. And anything extra that is done can cause that frame to break in stress, perhaps as you're turning off the interstate at high speed, causing you to crash. It's no accident where the holes are placed on the skulls and the skeleton of everything that is in creation. It's a fun program, and have a great time with the kids. By the way, if you happen to have any kind of skulls you'd like to send me that are in excellent condition, from the smallest little animals all the way up to the big ones, we can always use more, and it would be a blessing. Now, friend, as you've been listening to this, there's been some questions in your mind, and you really would like to get to the bottom of this whole creation versus evolution argument. There is a book I suggest that we carry on our website. More Than Meets the Eye, the interview with Dr. Richard Swenson, probably our most popular interview. His book takes you from the subatomic particle level through the cells, the human body, and even the universe, and shows with math and science, it's not a hard read, by the way, but with math and science, he shows you that it could not have happened by chance. There had to be an intelligent designer. Just as there's an intelligent designer on the frames of the trucks and cars that we drive every day. So you might consider getting a book, More Than Meets the Eye. It can certainly enlighten you in this area and deal with some of those questions that you might have. And maybe you're wishing there was someone you could talk to. God's been squeezing your heart, and you'd like to know about how to begin a first-time relationship with Jesus Christ. You know that's easy. There's someone waiting 24 hours, 7 days a week to talk to you. And all you have to do is pick up the phone and call 888-NEED-HIM. Again, that's 1-888 and the words need him. And there's someone there that can help you answer those questions, deal with those arguments that you might have about God and Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, the blood that was shed, and how that can atone for your sins. In other words, pay for the sins that you have. Maybe you have done things that you think are so terrible that nothing could cause God to not be angry at you, but that's not true. Please make that call, 1-888-NEED-HIM. I promise you'll be so glad that you did.
Here's a one that got away fishing story from God's Great Outdoors. As an outdoor writer, he's been able to fish all over the world, but Stan Fagerstrom's claim to fame is his incredible casting ability. With over 50 years of trick casting under his belt, he's known as the Master Caster. But Stan says, you know, sometimes I'm not as good as I think I am. Here's Stan Fagerstrom's fishing blunder. For many years, Stan made it a practice to go before a sports show opened up and warm up, honing his skills for an hour or more, just one cast after another at small targets, and practice his trick cast. Well, one day at the King Dome in Seattle, Washington, before the International Sportsman Exposition opened, Stan was there as usual early. All was quiet as he practiced casting at a paper coffee cup 30 feet away. Stan remembers, I'm casting with a casting rod and casting reel, and I cast and whap right in the middle of the cup. I sensed someone walk up alongside to my left, even though the show isn't open yet. I didn't pay any attention and cast again. Whap, right in the cup. A voice says, my goodness, can you do that every time? I answered, you bet, which was my first mistake. The fellow said, let's see you do it again. So I cast, and whap, right in the middle of the cup. That's three in a row. The man asked me, listen, could you do that on television? I said, why not? There was my second mistake. The fellow said, listen, do it one more time. Shemek, right in the middle of the cup. He said excitedly, Mr. Fagerstrom, I'm the host of PM Magazine, very popular here in Seattle. I'm going to be here tonight at the very opening of the show, and we're going to do a live spot. That would be terrific to have you hit that cup out there. Can you do it? To which I smartly replied, no problem, which was mistake number three. All right, have your gear and be ready by the entrance about 7:25. We're on promptly at 7:30, and we're going to come right on with you, stated the TV host. Stan assured him he'd be there. As 7:20 arrived, the Master Caster wandered over in that direction, which was seeing quite a crowd gather, as they tend to do with TV cameras present. Soon the producer was counting down, saying 4, 3, 2, 1, and the well-known host was on the air live. Ladies and gentlemen, we have something that you've never seen before and might never see for a long time in the future. We have Stan Fagerstrom. This guy can hit a paper cup with a cast 30 feet away, and he never misses. The show's host went on and on as Stan stood watching the cup shrink to the size of a thimble. Show them how you can hit that cup. Stan cast and missed. Stan reflects, I wish there was a hole I could have slithered down through and gotten out of there. I would have, but there wasn't. Reeling in, and thank heavens, with the next cast, I got it right in the middle of the cup. We've all put too much confidence in our own abilities a time or two, but Stan Fagerstrom is wise enough to know that his ability and effort will fall short of getting right with God, no matter how hard he tries. That's why he's trusted in Jesus Christ as his Savior, and you can too. For a free booklet on the subject by Ron Lindner, called The End of the Line, call, write, or email us here at God's Great Outdoors.
Did you enjoy that story? Do you know that you can get that story and 63 others in the book Hunting Blunders and the One That Got Away? Something that you can use yourself as a devotional, or you can get copies to give to those that God has placed on your heart that you know need to have a personal relationship with the Creator in the creation they love to enjoy. You can order copies through our web store at ggoutdoors.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-877-TALK-GGO. This book can make a difference in someone's life. Why don't you contact us and get a copy today?
We'd like to send you a Should Men Hunt? What Does the Bible Say? Bookmark. To get a free copy, go to the website to order at ggoutdoors.org.
Why don't you prayerfully consider joining us at one of the Fishers of Men retreats in Ontario, Canada. You park your cars, hop onto float planes, and fly into Rushing Wind Retreat Center. A very comfortable setting, gourmet meals, hot showers, guest speakers, an opportunity for you to get out onto the water, enjoying fishing with friends and relatives who you wind up bringing and need Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. These five-day events with everything included, and this is also the flight in and out, are priced a third of what you normally would pay for these kinds of fishing adventures. Contact Rushing Wind at area code 715-683-2530 and consider who it is that you may wind up bringing and seeing them come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior as you're using God's creation to change lives for eternity.
We're thankful for today's guest and the fact that you joined us as well. We'd love to hear how God has spoken to you. Please write to us and mail it to 8193 Emmerich Road, West Milton, Ohio, 45383. I'm John Skillman, inviting you to always consider how to make wise use of your time in God's great outdoors.